makes you think whether it's worth doing any more now, because the words have been done. Do you know how much he loves you? Do you know how much he loves you? And maybe I won't stick to all of this morning. What was achieved for us when that stone was rolled away? What was it? It was immense. It was beyond anything we could imagine this morning. How he loved us. How he loves us still. God knew that we were going to be messy. How right he was. How right he remains to be. And yet, he loves us. Praise God. You know, on Calvary, that awful weekend, but precious weekend, that Jesus gave himself up for you and for me. God's love and forgiveness and grace flowed again into a world that now had the opportunity to draw back to him and renew a right relationship with him. And throughout the scriptures we read about people who had life-changing encounters with God, life-changing encounters with Jesus, and their lives were never the same again. Never the same again. That's why we sang that song earlier. I just said, hold on to these words, like, you know, it's a life-changing. God calls a response out from us. And sometimes that response comes for myself as a young teenager. For others, it comes on their deathbed. And for many in between. But his love demands a response from us. And this is the message I just want to bring very briefly this morning. God's love demands a response from us. And as I said, we read through the scriptures. I've got so many readings to do that I'm not going to do any of them, I think, this morning. I think it was enough what we saw there. But we can read here through, right the way from people who had an encounter with God, from people like Noah and Abraham, and right the way through, and all of the prophets had an encounter with God and they could not. And it said in Jeremiah that something was burning in his bones and he could not, although he hated almost the position as prophet, but something God had done in himself, he could not but not tell of what God was about. There was something that compelled him, that made her response come out of this man. And right through, you can see it. You know, Daniel and all the other prophets. And into the New Testament, you can see it. And right down to normal, everyday men and women who just walked the streets, who had an encounter with this special man who touched their lives. And it was amazing how so much about women has been spoken this morning. And I make no excuses, or my message is about women mainly this morning. You know, where would we be without them, men? Where would we be without them? But we can read in here, and it's the men. We read about this man and that man. We read about the experience that Paul had on that road, and God just struck him, and his life changed forever after that day. And we read about Peter fishing, and Jesus saying, you know, from now on you'll catch men, lay down your nets and follow me. And they did, and followed him. And right through, you can just see them, Andrew and James and John and Matthew and Zacchaeus Yeah, they're all there, all of these people called, encountered Father in a special way, and were compelled to do something about what they'd seen and what they'd heard and what God had done. We read about these men, these great men of God. Folks, there's some great women of God here amongst these pages too. And I just thought it was so, I didn't know what Wendy was going to bring for communion this morning. I just knew she had something in her heart to share, you know, and it was about Mary. And my message is about some of the Marys as well. People like Mary Magdalene from the town of Magdalene. Jesus cast 7 demons out of her, and her life was changed forever. Her life was changed forever. She was never the same woman again. And as I said, a lot's been written about these great men of Scripture. But behind every great man, there's a great woman. And woven through these pages are women who were there. You've only got to read it. People like Mary Magdalene. I just want to read you the scripture in Luke 8. Just very briefly. Luke 8. It says this. This is after Jesus had been anointed by the prostitute. And Simon the Pharisee never even gave him a greeting, not even gave him a blessing when he walked into his home, but he just scorned the fact that this dirty woman would come in and break that ointment over his feet and wipe his feet with her hair. Also Mary, Martha's sister, did exactly the same just before, the week before Jesus went into Jerusalem to be crucified. And Judas moaned about the fact that she wasted so much expensive ointment on him. But here in chapter 8 of Luke, just before the parable of the sower, it says this. After this is this encounter with this prostitute who blessed him, and Jesus talked about the fact is that for those whom much is forgiven, much love comes out. See, Simon the Pharisee didn't have a lot of love because he hadn't had a lot really forgiven. But this woman who continually wept and wiped his feet with her hair all the time when he was there with him in this Pharisee's house. He said, like, you know, see, this woman has sinned much. And she's forgiven much. There's much love there. See, when we've been forgiven a lot, it helps us to love a lot. We realize how much God has forgiven us and set us free of. It enables us and releases us to love like we've never loved before. Hearing after that encounter with this lady, Jesus says this. He said, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, the 12 with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. You see, as Jesus and his disciples walked around from town to town, there were women in the background, cooking, cleaning, preparing, doing, fetching, carrying, providing out of their own means, out of what they had, to support this man, in this Jesus and his ministry. So behind all this that was going on, there were women. This is what I want to try and get through this morning. All this is happening in the background. Lots are written about Peter and John and others like him. But there were women all the time, walking from town to town, being with Jesus, caring for his needs and looking after him, providing food for him and for the others as they were down. When the chips were down on that dreadful weekend, it was the women who were there. It was the women who were standing around the cross. It was the women who were looking for where they were going to lay his body. It was the women who were looking out for him. It was the women who perhaps couldn't sleep, these are my thoughts now, and wanted to be there first, to be there to anoint him and to do this for him. You see, these women had an encounter with Jesus that changed their lives forever. They were not the same again. Called by God, I think they had an understanding of what it was for being called. And when Mary went to the tomb with the others, she had no inkling. She never entered her head that Jesus wouldn't be there. You know, they were told so many times what was going to happen, but they just couldn't get into their heads that he wasn't going to be there. But they went to be there. Oh, how he loved them. Oh, how he loved Mary. As I said, this woman, reading some of the translations, this dirty woman, this woman who was the lowest of the low, Simon had said quietly to himself, if this man was really a prophet, talking of Jesus, he'd know what sort of woman she was. But Jesus knew exactly his thoughts. Told him a little parable about forgiveness. This woman who anointed him, wiped his feet with her hair, forgiven much, loved much, oh how he loved her. Mary, the sister of Martha, as I said, Lazarus also anointed Jesus at Bethany before his crucifixion with that expensive ointment, a year's wages. She blew it all on Jesus. Wow. What would that cost us? To blow a year's income, break it over his feet, smash the jar, so the aroma, scripture says the aroma was smelt all in the room. Sometimes God calls us to break jars open. Jars that are sealed and kept and put to aside for a rainy day. God says, break it open. I want to smell the aroma of your sacrifice. There was Mary. Many stories told about Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And here she was, breaking before him. As Judas criticized, she anointed the Saviour's feet, as he said, ready for his death. Oh how he loved her. What about blind Bartimaeus on the road, calling out to Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Just barely a week or more from the day that we're celebrating, there he was in his blind state, and Jesus gave him sight and set him free. And what did he do? He followed Jesus in the road, it says. Yeah. Encounter with Jesus that changed his life. How long that life was for, who knows? Because they were going into Jerusalem to certain death. But he's willing to follow his Saviour. Oh how he loved him. The list goes on and on of people who encountered God's love, grace and forgiveness through Jesus and were never, ever the same again. And while we're here this morning, what about the criminals on either side of him at Calvary that day, reading in different gospels of how they hurled accusations, both of them, against him? How to say, if you're the Christ, get yourself, save yourself, and save me, save us, right to the very end. I suppose if anybody deserved to be on a cross there, it was them. But they were either side of the Saviour, and they cried out in their anger, you know, save yourself, save us, if you're who you say you are. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the soldiers, they mocked him. And then just before Jesus died, one of these men who had screamed and shouted at him said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." See, this is deathbed encounter with God. And anybody ever says to me, "Well, of course I don't know where she was with God, I don't know where he was with God at the end," I always say, you know, God knows. Father knows. You know, who are we to judge? Who are we to say? We don't know that last second, that last breath, what happens with a person when they die. This poor guy who fell and died last week, who knows what his last breath was, when he called out. You know, who are we to judge? Who are we to say? Because we know right at the 11th hour, and there was this, the thief, on the cross next to Jesus, and he says, "Father, Jesus, remember me." Because he saw the way that he never responded, he never shouted back, he just was Jesus. And something about Jesus touched his life that day, that he would say, "Lord, remember me." And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Encounter with God that changed that thief's life, that moment forever. Shortly after that, they came and they broke the legs of the two men either side of Jesus. Because apparently, when the Romans crucified people, they could last 2 or 3 days. While the legs could support the body and push up so they could breathe, they could do this. And so they were ordered, the soldier ordered to break the legs of their man Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they said he was already dead. And that's why they stuck the spear in his side, just to make sure that he was dead. And the scripture was fulfilled, that not a bone of his body would be broken. It's amazing, isn't it? No, Jesus wasn't there fighting for his life. He was fighting for you. He's fighting for me. You know, people, you think, they was there like, Jesus wasn't hanging on for the last minute. He knew when Father's time was. And he said, "It is finished." And that was it. The end was come. What a beautiful picture of Jesus. Not fighting in the pain and the agony, but knowing it was done. And what he did that day would last for all eternity. And would provide a way for me and for you to come back to him. The criminal on the cross. Oh, how Jesus loved him. Right at that last minute. As I prepared my message for today, strangely enough, my mind was drawn to Facebook. You see, what's Facebook got to do with Calvary? And I just thought that I felt like the Lord whispering into my heart as I was preparing. You know, just those of you who do Facebook and similar things, Twitter and whatever, you know how easy it is to click and accept a new friend. We don't want them as a friend anymore, you just click them off. Unfriend them. Gone. I felt that God was saying to me, "Andrew," he said, "that we can be just like that." Yes, we can be just like that with him. You know, these friendships on Facebook can be just acquaintances, chance encounters with people we know very little about, some we know absolutely nothing about, and yet they want to be my friend, your friend. A young man contacted me a few days ago, wanted to be my friend. I haven't got a clue who he is. From Roldan. Thinking, who is he? This Easter, I believe, Jesus wants to be more than just a type of Facebook friend. He wants to be more than an acquaintance to you and to me. His church. He wants to be more than a chance encounter. And I believe Jesus issues every one of us today with a friend request. Will we confirm him? Yes. Or will we click? Not now. If we do click yes, we're then taken to another page and it says, What's your relationship with this person? Saying yes to Jesus this morning. Is he a close friend? Is he an acquaintance of yours? Mine? Have we unfriended him? Because we didn't like what he said to us? What he asked us to do for him? What he challenged us in our heart about? We can kick him off, I don't like that. In this modern immediate world of communication, he wants to be your closest intimate friend. Somebody who is so real to you, we don't need a button on Facebook to click, but we know he's with us every moment of the day. You know, a few months back I just felt so, I don't know, I can't really explain how I felt, but I felt like, Andrew, you're not praying like you used to pray before. You're not spending the time, you're not setting so much time aside and to pray and do things. I fretted and struggled with it for a while. I'm saying, why? I just felt the Holy Spirit whisper in my heart, yeah, but you're talking to me all the time. Yeah, I never thought about it like that before. But as we grow in him, we're talking to him all the time. And I thought, yeah, I do. Driving to do something, or, you know, saying, Lord, what shall I say here? Or, you know, if it's a funeral or something like that, I'm saying, God, you know, I need a word, I need something from you. What can I say that's going to bring some sort of release, some sort of hope in this situation that's desperate? You know, and I said, yes, Lord. And he's like, God, have to remind me. Maybe my time of setting aside a quarter of an hour in the morning or half an hour at night had changed, but now I was talking to him all the time. I never even noticed. And that's, I really believe, how God wants us to be with him. We don't even notice the fact is, you know, and don't fret that you're not praying at special times, whatever, because he's constantly speaking into your heart and saying, you know, what about today? What are we going to do today? You know, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's right. I was sort of chastising myself. I've got to get back to spending some time and whatever. And there are occasions where, yes, we need to do that. But, you know, as we grow in him, we just find we're so constantly talking to him, sharing with him, telling him about our problems, not waiting for a prayer session to say, Lord, you know, oh, I've been struggling with this. Yes, he does. You know, he knows it. You know, but day by day, minute by minute, moment by moment, he wants to walk with us. He doesn't want us to come on, switch our computers on, switch on Facebook and click on, is Jesus online? He is always online. He never. People moan about me, you're never off Facebook, it's only because I have my computer all the time, and I use it like a phone. But, you know, Jesus is the same, he's always there. Always, he never takes time off. He's always there to listen to you and to me. How much he loves us. What will be our response to that love this morning? To that forgiveness that Calvary brought 2,000 years ago and counting. And after God's amazing sacrifice, he calls us again to be intimate with him. This Easter, I believe the Easter message to this church is Father wants us all to be intimate with him. Absolutely intimate with him. He's there. He doesn't want our daily walk to be just an acquaintance, somebody that we heard about, a chance encounter. He wants it to be that encounter that changed our life forever. Changed our life forever. He wants our daily walk with him to be up close and personal. Oh, how he loves us.